the bells are silent. Inside the Tower of London, a small crowd gathers on a grey morning in May 1536. Soldiers stand watch, courtiers whisper, and nobody speaks louder than necessary. At the center of it all stands a woman who only a few years earlier had seemed untouchable. 29 years old, Queen of England, wife of Henry VIII, and mother of the king's child. Now she waits for an executioner. Somewhere many miles away, her daughter is not yet 3 years old. She cannot understand why familiar faces have disappeared, why adults suddenly lower their voices when her name is mentioned, or why the world around her is beginning to shift in ways she cannot possibly name. The little girl is called Elizabeth. History would remember her as one of England's greatest monarchs, but on this morning, there is no crown waiting for her. There is only loss, uncertainty, and survival.
Welcome to the Mammoth in the Room podcast, where we share real-life stories about leadership and their underlying human behavior rooted in science and research. We unpack and interpret the evolutionary forces behind it to help you to better lead your people for outstanding business results.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time, using history and neuroscience to explain the human behavior behind pivotal decisions, because those same patterns still shape how leaders and teams succeed or fail in organizations today. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. When people hear the name Elizabeth I, they often think of triumph. They think of the defeat of the Spanish Armada, of Shakespeare, exploration, national confidence, and the image of a queen who ruled England for nearly half a century. What many people do not realize is how unlikely that outcome was. Elizabeth was never supposed to become queen. To understand why, we need to step into England during one of the most turbulent periods in its history. The Tudor dynasty was still young, civil war had scarred the country only decades earlier, and memories of instability remained fresh. For kings and nobles alike, succession was never merely a family matter. It was a question of national survival. At the center of that question stood Henry VIII. Today he is remembered for his 6 wives, but behind many of his decisions sat one persistent concern. He desperately wanted a son. A male heir promised continuity and stability, while the absence of one allowed uncertainty to hang over the kingdom like weather that never cleared. By the early 1530s, Henry had become captivated by Anne Boleyn, a woman whose intelligence, confidence, and political instincts distinguished her from many at court. Their relationship would eventually transform England. Henry broke with Rome, challenged religious authority, and reordered the political landscape in pursuit of a future he believed secure. Then came the pregnancy, and across the court, many, actually everyone, expected the same thing, a prince. On September 7th, 1533, Anne gave birth to a daughter. Her name was Elizabeth. For a brief moment, celebrations continued because additional children might still follow. Yet the disappointment was real. The long-awaited solution had not arrived. And in court, built around expectation, disappointment quickly became dangerous. The years that followed were unforgiving. Anne failed, quote-unquote, to produce a surviving son. Henry's attention wandered. Rivals gathered, and court politics hardened into something more threatening. Political systems centered on a single powerful individual often become highly sensitive to changes in favor. When advancement depends on proximity to one person, loyalty becomes fragile and fear becomes common. Tudor England displayed both. In 1536, Anne Boleyn was arrested and accused of adultery, incest, and treason. Historians still debate the charges, but few doubt the political forces surrounding them. And once the machinery of accusation began moving, the verdict was effectively sealed. Anne was condemned. On May 19th, 1536, she was executed. Elizabeth was not yet 3 years old. The consequences extended far beyond the loss of a mother. Henry's marriage to Anne was declared invalid. Elizabeth was declared illegitimate, and she was removed from the line of succession. Her status collapsed almost overnight. One day she was a princess, and the next she occupied a far less secure place in the world. Her future suddenly depended on forces entirely beyond her control. Children rarely understand political realities, yet they live with their consequences. Although we should be careful not to project modern psychological certainty into historical figures, neuroscience does suggest that environments marked by instability often shape how people learn to navigate the world. Individuals exposed to unpredictable circumstances frequently become more attentive to shifts in relationships, status, and threat. Elizabeth's life would require exactly those skills. Yet, her story did not end with her fall from favor. One of the most remarkable aspects of her childhood was the quality of her education. Despite the uncertainty surrounding her position, she received instruction from some of the finest tutors available. She studied languages, rhetoric, philosophy, history, and theology, eventually becoming fluent in several languages and developing a reputation for intellectual discipline that impressed even seasoned scholars. These achievements did not guarantee future success, but they quietly built capabilities that would later matter enormously. History often celebrates dramatic moments, yet many leadership strengths develop away from public view. Curiosity, preparation, self-control, and disciplined learning seldom make headlines, but they shape the decisions leaders make when pressure eventually arrives. Pressure continued to arrive for Elizabeth. Henry VIII married again, and then again, while the Tudor court remained a place of shifting alliances, ambitions, fears, and opportunities. New heirs appeared, old assumptions disappeared, and political fortunes rose and fell with startling speed. When Henry died in 1547, the throne passed to his son Edward VI. England remained unstable, and powerful factions competed for influence around the young king. Elizabeth, still a teenager, learned an important lesson. Proximity to power could create opportunity, but it also creates danger. Edward's reign was short. When he died, the succession crisis returned, and eventually his half-sister Mary became queen. Mary I inherited a divided kingdom and fought to restore Catholicism. Religious tensions intensified, and Elizabeth, whether she wished it or not, became associated with Protestant hopes and anxieties. Suspicion followed her as rebellions erupted. Plots emerged, and questions circulated about where her loyalties truly lay. Then came one of the most dramatic moments of her young life. Elizabeth was imprisoned in the Tower of London. For many prisoners, the Tower represented the final chapter of her story. For Elizabeth, it carried an additional burden because her mother had entered those same walls before her execution. Imagine the uncertainty of a young woman walking corridors connected to the darkest memories of her family history, unable to know whether she would emerge free or share a similar fate. Many who entered the Tower never walked out again, which only deepened the uncertainty surrounding Elizabeth's fate. Yet, unlike so many others before her, Elizabeth eventually left alive. One of the recurring themes through this series will be survival. Not survival through conquest or battlefield heroics, but survival through patience, emotional control, observation, and timing. During these dangerous years, Elizabeth became extraordinarily disciplined. She measured her words carefully, learned when silence was safer than argument, and came to understand that other people's fears and ambitions could shape outcomes just as powerfully as formal authority. Modern leadership often focuses on strategy and execution, and both matter. Yet effective leaders also learn how to read environments. Every organization contains visible structures and invisible realities. Job titles tell part of the story, while informal alliances, trust networks, incentives, and perceptions tell the rest. Elizabeth was learning to navigate both worlds long before she ever wore a crown. What makes her journey remarkable is that nothing about it appeared inevitable. There was no clear path to the throne, no obvious indication that England's future would one day rest in her hands. Her early years were defined by uncertainty, danger, and loss, yet threaded through all of them was a quality that would later define her reign: survival. Many leadership stories begin with signs of future greatness. Elizabeth's begins with vulnerability. The qualities that would later define her reign were forged during instability, because before she learned how to govern a kingdom, she learned how to endure one. Looking back, it is tempting to assume that history was somehow moving inevitably toward Elizabeth's reign. It was not. History is filled with individuals who appeared destined for greatness and never achieved it, just as it is filled with people who seemed unlikely to matter and ultimately transformed the course of events. Elizabeth belonged firmly in the second group. By early adulthood, she had survived the execution of her mother, the collapse of her status, religious upheaval, political uncertainty, and imprisonment. Many people would have been broken by far less. Yet she remained, and in Tudor England, survival itself could become a form of political relevance, because those who endured could suddenly find themselves drawn back into the struggle for power. The throne was still occupied. Powerful forces still surrounded her. Danger had not disappeared. In many ways, it was only beginning. Before we close, here are two leadership takeaways from today's episode. First, the environments that shape leaders often begin influencing them long before leadership formally starts. Emotional control, adaptability, and observation are frequently developed during periods of uncertainty rather than comfort. Adversity does not automatically create strong leaders, but it often reveals strengths that easier circumstances never demand. Second, survival should never be confused with passivity. Elizabeth spent years without formal authority, yet she was constantly making choices about what to say, what not to say, how to say it, whom to trust, and how to navigate uncertainty. Sometimes the ancient instincts that continue to shape human behavior reward patience, restraint, and careful observation every bit as much as bold action. The young girl at the center of this story was never supposed to become queen. Her mother was dead, her legitimacy had been challenged, and her future appeared uncertain. Yet, she was still there. And in the dangerous world of the Tudors, survival was often the first step towards power. All right, this was it again for today. If this episode resonated with you, whether as a leader, a student of history, or someone curious about why power unfolds the way it does, please subscribe, rate, and share it with someone in your network who would appreciate this kind of perspective. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap for how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does that across three sections: on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts quietly hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.